WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter of what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
To the biggest party in the summer, and they tried to get us excited. They try.
Can we just say it? SmackDown has the disproportionately better matches than Raw.
This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We're back after a 2-week hiatus to be live. We had Reggie in a park playing Fortnite Battle Royale, it felt like.
You had R-Truth in a ghillie suit with a referee behind a tree. And you had Tozawa as a trash can, trying to sneak up on Reggie, who left his car door open, and I think he left his car running.
But then he got back into his car, so no one actually stole his car, even though you could steal his car, because he was just there.
Yeah, but he eludes them once again, and R-Truth and Tozawa realize they have to step up their game if they want to catch Reggie.
Which means that somewhere in Allegiant Stadium on Saturday, they may try to catch up to Reggie. Who knows?
I'm terrified.
Who, in fact, knows? Eva Marie had an assignment for Doudrop, and that was to get Lily, and that didn't go as planned, as Doudrop tried to grab Lily, and then she handed the doll right back. Eva was upset, so she slapped the hell out of Doudrop.
Twice.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't really call it slap the hell out of her. Like, she just kind of, like, tapped her, because Eva really can't hit that hard.
I mean, it looked okay.
The second one looked weak.
The first one was pretty good.
Perfect, pretty good.
She probably hurt her hand on the first one.
Probably. And then she was just like, bonk, on the second one. But yeah, I mean, have you not seen horror movies that involve creepy dolls? There's a whole new Chucky series getting ready to come out. There's like 50 million reasons why you do not mess with the creepy possessed doll. Go watch Annabelle if you need to know why you don't screw with the doll. Okay, you just leave the doll alone. Like, Doudrop, Piper did the smartest thing she could. She just left Lily with Alexa. She's like, you know what? Nope, not messing with this right here. Nope, she just stays right here. I will suffer the consequences of not getting her.
Mansoor beat Mace so that feud continues.
The incredible irony of Retribution leader facing former Retribution members with his new adopted son, Mansoor. One who is absolutely adorable with Mustafa Ali. He's just like all happy and bright and sunshine and sweet. And Ali is just full on adopted him. He's in love with him at this point. But yeah, this was just like irony city.
Drew McIntyre gets to keep his sword at ringside with him, because it has all the magical powers to beat Jinder Mahal on Sunday, I guess. Jinder does not get to have Veer and Shanky.
Okay, I just have to say this, because this feels like an entire like, metaphor. This feels like a dick metaphor. I don't know why. But, like, Drew McIntyre needs his sword. He needs to wave his sword around for everybody to see. He has to show off his sword. He has to penetrate things with his sword. He needs his sword to win on Sunday because it has the magical properties. This feels like a... I don't know why, but it feels like a giant dick metaphor with this sword. Like, baby, honey, sweetie, you won matches, you won titles without it. You can do it without it. You don't need your sword to win the match for you. You can win the match without it.
Since they added the sword to the gimmick like, at the end of last year, he's lost more matches than he's won.
Like, it's a good prop. It's a really good prop. But, like, my whole thing is, like, they had a whole match, right, that says if Drew loses, he can't bring his sword to the ring. And when I heard this, I was like, what the hell is he going to do? Stab somebody? He's not the Undertaker. Like, only Taker has stabbed somebody TV.
On TV. I'm glad you clarified that.
In game, on TV. But I mean, it's like, I had to think about it. It's like, nobody's ever been stabbed on WWE TV, and I'm like, wait, no, that's not true. Taker stabbed Brock with a pen. So, it has happened. But it's like, Drew's not gonna, like, stick anybody with a sword. He's not gonna do that. So I don't understand why it's like, oh, well, if you lose, you can't bring your sword to the ring. That's like saying he can't wear his kilt.
That's just saying you can't walk out with your own entrance music.
Well, I wasn't trying to go there, but yes, it's very similar.
As the fifth labor, you can't use your entrance music or your finishing move. At least that's a challenge.
That's effective, because your supposed finishing move. What am I supposed to do? Oh no, I can't use my finishing move. I have to come up with another finishing move for, you know, the other offense that I need or whatever. Like, that's actually a challenge. Right?
It just so happens he has like four other finishing moves he could do.
I understand this, but I'm just saying that's like actually like a challenge of not doing the move, right? Because at some point you just autopilot and you just go to hit the move and you can't do it. But yeah, like I don't understand the whole match about the sword. I just don't. I'm sorry. I'm sure Angela is a lovely sword and I've heard the backstory about it.
We're just going to leave it at that.
You couldn't see my face, but it's concerned. But yes, I've heard the backstory about Angela. I'm sure she's lovely. I'm sure she's very powerful and strong and stabby. But I just don't understand why we had an entire match where Drew McIntyre had to defend his sword. I'm telling you, dick metaphor. It was just a giant dick metaphor.
Karrion Kross found his mojo by destroying Jeff Hardy backstage and then beat him in the ring in 50 seconds.
Where the hell was this like 6 weeks ago?
That's a good question.
You want to know why they did this? Y'all want to know why?
Please tell me.
Because, you know, something's coming on Sunday.
Takeover.
And that probably telegraphs that a certain someone is going to more than likely get their ass beat on Sunday by a Joe.
Go listen to our preview available now at RankRadioShow.com of NXT Takeover. Ding. It was Nikki A.S.H. taking on Rhea Ripley. You had Charlotte at ringside doing commentary. She forgot Byron's name. And then Corey said something to the effect that many girls forget his name, too. Something to that effect. Rhea beat Nikki. Nikki then was being mocked by Charlotte. She attacked Charlotte. And then Rhea got involved. Charlotte was upset. She demanded a match. And they made it a tag match later in the night, which it was Charlotte and her partner, Nia Jax, taking out Rhea and Nikki.
I just want to talk about the sparkly Spanx.
Go for it.
What was that? I mean, I know she's been into the bodysuits lately, and she should absolutely be into the bodysuits because she has the body to wear them and go off, girl. Like, completely go off. But, like, I question some of these because it's like, what are you doing? Like, it was weird. It was shorts. Like, it literally looked like a pair of bedazzled Spanx. Like, it would have been better if they went all the way down her legs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only complaint about it. Like, otherwise it was fine, but it's just like, the shorts was just like, it was weird because it was like, her legs are a different color than the fabric, obviously, because it's supposed to be a nude, in quotations, bodysuit. So, you know, you're supposed to try and get it as close to your skin tone as possible. And with Charlotte being as tan as she is, it's a little difficult. But yeah, it was awkward to me. Also, the hair makeup situation I wasn't a fan of the hair. For whatever reason, it made her hair look really, really thin. And I don't know why.
Randy Orton opened up Monday Night Raw.
We didn't talk about the match.
Oh, you want to talk about the match? Matches?
I mean, we should talk about how Nikki Ash got pissed off and, like, attacked Charlotte.
I said that.
We should talk about it.
Oh, also, Nia Jax figured out how to shake her ass in someone's face.
They chanted Rikishi at her.
They did.
Because she basically did a stink face.
She did. I mean, go ahead.
The match was fine.
Both matches were. They're both fine.
But, I mean, there's nothing a lot to write home about. But, yeah, it was just...
You had the champion lose on the go-home and one of the challengers lose on the go-home. And Charlotte is the only one who got a win on the go-home, so...
I mean, they need more women on Raw.
They do.
I'm sorry. They just... There's a lack of female roster there. And they need more women on Raw.
You got, like, 7 active. You need more than that to fill out a show. Before we get to what I was going to go to, we got to talk about the new television talk show of Monday Night Raw, Moist TV.
It was very damp.
So John Morrison's guest was Miz. He had a kiddie pool and an inflatable pool toy and all this stuff. A dripstick.
I like the pool toy. Like, I like the llama floaty. I want to know where they got it.
Probably Target.
Probably.
So, Miz, who last week got out of his wheelchair and is fine, and he, you know, Morrison asked if have you always been pretending to be injured? And Miz is like, no, I'm not a liar. Damian Priest came out. Everyone knows you're a liar and all that stuff. And he talked about his match for SummerSlam and, you know, and it came out, you know, Miz has been cleared for a couple weeks. This upset John Morrison. Miz is like, I'm not 100% yet. Priest is like, you looked 100% when you ran away. I had a surge of energy, said Miz. Morrison went, why didn't you just tell me? And Miz said Priest was turning everything around, like just like he does on Miz TV. And, you know, Morrison's like, hey, let's have a match. Priest versus Miz. And Miz was upset, so he had to wrestle in his loafers. And he lost after John Morrison walked out on him. And then Priest hit the bro kick while Sheamus was at ringside watching on commentary.
Y'all, I just found the floaty.
Was that a Target?
It's a Target. It's $10. It's $10 at Target. I'm not even kidding. Is it in stock? It's not eligible for order pickup. God damn it! But it's in stock!
Search another Target?
No, they won't pull it for you, so... Guess he's going to Target tomorrow. No, I don't want to ship it. Like, I don't want to be that lazy. Like, I could do same-day delivery if, like, I really wanted to. But it would be cheaper to honestly just drive to the Target that is 3 miles from my house and go get it. Because reasons. But, yeah. I don't know how I felt about this. Llama aside.
Are they building a feud between Miz and Morrison finally, or is this just a wrinkle in until they get back together, just something to prolong, you know, a story? I don't know.
I feel like this is stupid storytelling because it's like Morrison's the one that's with him, right? They're best friends, as is established on Miz and Mrs., right? Like, mm-hmm. They're together, they're best buddies, they hang out all the time. Wouldn't Morrison know that Miz got cleared?
He just never told him, though, so he stayed in the wheelchair.
But that seems stupid that you would have Miz lie to his best friend about, or not even lie, but withhold the truth about having to get out of the wheelchair. Like, you think it would be some clever ploy that they would have together that, you know, oh, hey, we're going to keep the wheelchair gimmick going as long as possible because, hey, we can sneak things to the ring in the wheelchair.
That's what I thought was the gimmick, and apparently they have other ideas.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem logical, right? That Miz just would not tell Morrison, or Morrison is so unobservant that he wouldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. So, I mean, it was what it was, but it's just a little, like, I don't know. It's just a little weird. It just doesn't make sense to me from a logic storytelling standpoint. But let's see where they go with it, I guess. I don't know, but it just seemed strange.
So Monday Night Raw opened up with the Viper, the Apex Predator, Randy Orton came to the ring. Fans love him. He talked about people telling him Riddle just wants to be his friend. He said, that's the problem. He doesn't need any friends. He's a 14-time world champion, and he did it all by himself and doesn't owe anyone anything. Okay, sure. Whatever,
right.
Whatever you say. Evolution is just a mystery.
Wait.
She had to get in there somewhere.
I'm sorry, that cold.
That cold. Yeah, she still has a cold, chat.
I'm still getting over that cold, chat.
Yeah, it's a cough. It's turned into a cough now.
Yeah, that terrible cough. Undertaker?
Anyway.
I think he owes Undertaker for sure, because he lit that bitch on fire several times.
Yeah. Orton has a match with Omos tonight. Big dude, but he's a bit of a jackass. And he said he's going to introduce that big son of a bitch to the three most destructive letters in sports and entertainment. RK Bro. Plays over the loudspeaker as Matt Riddle comes to the ring.
Good timing.
Very good timing. It was great timing. Riddle said Orton didn't have any to explain himself to anyone. He said he gave an RK Bro last week, and he was teaching. It was a good teaching moment. He wasn't doing the move right, and, you know, he just needed to learn his lesson. And we need to get team, got RK-Bro back together. AJ and Omos came out. How about RK? No. And then Styles said, we're improving nothing when he beat him last week because he had Riddle's help. And he just wants to get the crowd to shut up, talk about bro. So he challenged Riddle to a match. Riddle's like, I can do anything with Randy in my corner. And wouldn't you know it? When they came back from break, Randy was like, yeah, no, I'm out. So AJ Styles end up being Riddle in a pretty good match. Thoughts?
This was fine. This was okay. I mean, I will be honest. I have missed the last 2 weeks due to reasons.
She's been in bed, chat. She was taking the bed because they fired Bray Wyatt there.
I had to go to bed for 6 days because they fired Bray Wyatt. No, it's actually because I got really, really sick. And I think I got really, really sick because they fired Bray Wyatt. Anyway, it's all WWE's fault. So I've missed the reuniting of Orton and Riddle. And, like, it was weird because the way that they started this off is they had Randy Orton beat Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. He came out of that. He was supposed to go on vacation, but he stuck around long enough to befriend Matt Riddle. And then he just fucking disappeared for...
7 weeks.
What? 7 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a little weird. And Matt Riddle has been carrying this on his own, and to his credit, he's done a wonderful job. And now Randy's back, and it's like, why would you want to be friends with the dude that just left you for, like, 7 weeks?
Because it's Randy Orton.
Okay, that doesn't mean you have to like him.
Matt Riddle loves Randy. He'll do anything.
I mean, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they have great talks when they get high together. But, like, again, this is the dude that left you to the wolves for 7 weeks while he fucked off and did whatever he wanted. Like, he didn't even tell you where he was going. You just, like, one day he didn't show up to work. Like, oh, hey. Riddle's trying to, like, get a hold of him. You know, would you forgive your friend if, like, you're not even friend? They're not even friends. They're acquaintances. Like, would you forgive a casual acquaintance if they just ghosted you for 7 weeks?
Hell no.
No. So it's like, why is Riddle like, I love you, Randy. I want to be with you forever.
Because it's Matt Riddle. By the way, did you notice Riddle is sort of trying to grow a little bit of facial hair like Randy is?
He's trying, man. He's trying.
It's a couple days old, but he's trying. He's trying to do that weird goatee thing Randy has. Also, Randy and Omos in the NDQ. It was a 2-on-1 on Randy until Matt Riddle showed up and made the save.
And they love each other now.
And Orton's like, you had my respect, you lost my respect, now you earned my respect. And Orton said, RK Bro is back, and they had a handshake. And
Don't trust him, Matt. Don't trust him. He's luring you into a false sense of security.
And then they challenged Styles and Omos for a tag title shot at SummerSlam.
I will say this, like, I actually don't mind the facial hair on Randy. I think it actually suits him really, really well for where he's at in his life. Like, it's that nice little, like, evil villain goatee. But he's got, like, it's almost like a Colonel Sanders situation, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually really kind of suits him in a weird way. He's got the bone structure for it. But then, yeah, this entire episode, they tried. Like, they tried things. They tried to make it exciting. But honestly, when they're plugging SummerSlam, and you're looking at the matches and you're seeing that SmackDown has, like, Rollins versus Edge, Cena versus Roman, Bianca versus Sasha. And then you look at Raw. Raw is definitively lacking in terms of match power and storyline power compared to SmackDown and how they've built those feuds. And it makes me a little sad because this episode was very sort of just wah wah. Like, it was just the really big moments weren't really big moments. And I'm just going to say this. They've done more for Goldberg's son since he came back in terms of trying to get him over than they did for half the roster that they fired.
So let's talk about that, shall we? Because that's the one thing, one contractual obligation we have left on this show. So the contractual obligation came to the ring, started talking about fatherhood, and said him and his, he moved his family to Texas a couple of years ago, so you have his son Gage at ringside, Sunberg, and the entire football team, and he said you could, you know, he came out of retirement for his son. He said he could have gone online and watched footage, but he wanted to see him in person, who Goldberg is and who his father is.
Dude, you did this!
3 years ago.
You beat Bray Wyatt for the title!
The story was when he beat Brock for Brock, but I digress.
And he beat Bray. He beat Bray, like, what, the year after he beat Brock? No, 2019. No, 2020.
2020.
He beat Bray. He beat Bray in 2020 for the title. Like, how many times does your son need to see you win the title, sir?
Well, now that he hit puberty, it's one more time.
One more time for the boys?
Because all the boys were there. Lashley came to the ringside, and he started, MVP was talking about Goldberg and everything like that. Got all the what treatment. Lashley told Goldberg that he knows he wants to have his SummerSlam moment, but he said he would give him one by ending his career. Goldberg goes, Lashley, that's bullshit. Ooh, he said bullshit. Lashley then went for clothesline, and then Goldberg duck hit the spear. We're okay. And then Goldberg grabbed his son, and they flex and Monday Night Raw ended.
They tried.
Cool. Okay. So Lashley just sort of ran into Goldberg, and Goldberg just sort of put his shoulder out. He walked 1 foot and hit a spear. It was shot weird.
They're trying to be really careful with everybody involved here.
They're trying to get everyone to SummerSlam.
And make sure nobody gets hurt. Or other things. I mean, they tried. Like, they're trying to make Goldberg Lashley a big, huge thing. And if they had actually put some, like, effort in, not just had Goldberg show up, like, a month ago, less than, or had Goldberg there, like, every week, really trying to fight Lashley. Because I feel like, here's the thing. I feel like Goldberg should really have to pursue Lashley. Because Lashley, he's the almighty, right? He's the WWE champion. You know, it should have been Goldberg comes out, challenges Lashley, and he's like, no, why should I face you? I don't owe you anything. And basically throw the standard, you're old, you're past your prime, you're this, you're that, you're all the things, right? I don't have anything to prove to you. Why am I going to fight you? And he walks away. And Goldberg has to continue to pursue Lashley. Until finally Lashley gets to the point that he's like, you know what? Oh, you're just really annoying. You want to get your ass kicked, old man? Okay, fine. Let me kick your ass. And then they go to SummerSlam. Like, I just feel like with this, it's just like Goldberg, like Lashley's like, I need somebody to fight. And Goldberg's like, I'm your dude. And they're like, okay.
That, yeah. Yeah.
And then it's just sort of been awkward promo spots after. So it's like, I mean, literally, you could have had Bobby Lashley say that. I need to fight somebody on Sunday. I don't have a match. And you could have had Goldberg walk out tonight. And it would have been like, boom, there's your match. And everybody would have been like, holy crap. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, with the way that they did this. So the fact that you had Goldberg do the surprise, like, a month ago. And then you kind of had just this lingering sort of, like, spill thing going on between the two. Where sometimes Goldberg's there, sometimes Goldberg's not there. You know? And it's just awkward. Like, it just, it to me, it hasn't built the excitement like it should have. Like, you look at Cena, right, versus Roman. It's the same principle. Cena came back, he rolled up, he wanted to fight Roman, but Roman made him chase a little bit. And you've seen Cena there almost every week. He's been at the shows. Whether you see him on TV or not, he's there.
Yeah, the only Raw he was missed in terms of being at the arena was the premiere week. But he's been on every dark match since. He's been doing most of the house show tours, too.
It's like the same thing with Edge. Edge has been there almost every week.
Just about, yeah.
To do the build with Seth. And they've been building the match with Seth since Mania. A little bit after.
If you listen to the story, it's been building since 2014.
I mean, fair. But, like, and it's good that they echo back to that. And we'll talk about that Thursday. But, like, it's just with this is just kind of falling a little flat. In comparison to some of the other stories that they have going on, it will be fine.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
No one believes in Goldberg.
Well, there's that. I mean, we all know what's going to happen, right? Like, it's contractual obligation. He's going to show up. He's going to wrestle. He's going to maybe wrestle. and he's going to leave. He's going to fulfill his contractual obligation, and he's going to go away. So it's like, why should we be into you? It's like, Edge, we know, is probably sticking around. Cena, depending on his movie schedule, he may or may not be sticking around, but he may come back.
But at least he's being upfront about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the difference with Cena.
But here's the thing with Cena. He could still win the title.
He could definitely still win the title.
Like, there's still that possibility that Cena can win the title. Like, Goldberg is just like,
Chat, I have homework for you guys. For Thursday, watch the Cena-Roman segment from SmackDown. That's your homework, chat.
Roman is really into missionary, and I don't know why. Like, what is wrong with, like, only having missionary sex? Like, he's stigmatizing it. Like, what is wrong with that? Some people have missionary sex their whole life, and they like it, and it's fine. It does it for them. Like, dude, don't sex shame somebody because they like missionary. Like, we get it. You're kinky. Okay.
Roman has his kinks. You know, you don't want to judge him for his kinks.
I'm not judging him for his kinks. I'm just saying he shouldn't judge people for their lack of kinks. Like, if you're into, like, missionary, then fine, being a missionary. But he's like, you know, you're just doing boring sex. Okay, well, some people like boring sex. It's what they're into. Don't be throwing that out there.
Anyway, that was Raw.
They tried. I personally did not enjoy the show for other reasons pertaining entirely to the fact that they let a specific someone go. And I am still bitter, I am still angry, I am still hurt, and I just miss my Wyatt so much. But he's never coming back to me, so I'll just have to get over it. And the hard part is that I don't have anybody to love right now. And until I fall in love with somebody else, it's just going to be a long, hard road for me. So, yeah.
Enjoy the journey with us, chat. Enjoy the journey.
It's a breakup. It's a weird, awkward breakup.
This has been the Raw Post Show, live right here on Talk Radio Network. Good Lord. The Rack will be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview the SummerSlam.
I get plastered. It doesn't help, Ash. Anyway, yes, tune in. We're going to have news, notes, NXT. We're talking SummerSlam, all your favorites. It's The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Coming later this week, The Rack Extra Reviews Madden NFL 22, thanks to our friends at EA Sports. It's in the game. The Rack will be live Saturday night following SummerSlam.
Woo!
We're going to throw a party for y'all, chat. It's a SummerSlam blowout of sorts with us. Yay. Come to the party. Enjoy it. Which means
it'll
there's
be
no,
fun.
Which means there's no CB Radio because I can't do two shows. I just can't. So
I feel bad that we kicked the boys off the air.
We've kicked one person off the air. That's all we've done. It's fine. Blame WWE. Wrestle Talk Radio will be live Sunday night after NXT TakeOver to review SummerSlam. We'll be back next Monday at Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming and Sports Channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
You can get Street Fighter, Ariana Grande. Did Ariana Grande leave? I think she may have left. There's Street Fighter. There's all the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. It's all there.
Wonder Woman is coming to Fortnite. Use the codes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no Fortnite this week because there's a pay-per-view.
We're going to be watching wrestling.
We're going to be watching wrestling.
And judging wrestling.
And judging it hard. So, this has been the Wild Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you all week long. Long the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.